This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. The word of God that we consider this morning comes from that epistle lesson, that second lesson, 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Our Passover lamb has been sacrificed, namely Christ. So let us keep celebrating the festival. This is the word of our God. And so we pray. Lord, sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear fellow believers in the resurrection, both our Savior's as well as ours, the resurrection means so much to us. Do you understand how important the resurrection of the dead is? How important this day is? It means everything for us. It means that what Jesus said to us is true. It means that everything that Jesus has ever said to us is true. It means that he is truly God, as he proclaimed. It means that he has the power even over death itself. It means that all of our sins are forgiven in him. And it means that because he lives, we too shall live forever with him. This day is so important for all of those eternal blessings, those wonderful blessings that last for all eternity, depend on this day. What a day to rejoice! What a day to celebrate! This is a festival. It's a high feast, a celebration to God. But today, the text appointed as our epistle lesson focuses our attention on another great blessing. All of these wonderful, eternal blessings notwithstanding, God says even more too. He tells us that he gives us newness of life in this resurrection from the dead, even while we're here on this earth. So let us focus our attention on that today, as the Word of God guides us to keep celebrating the festival of forgiveness of sins through Christ's resurrection and a new life of sincerity and truth. The situation in the church in Corinth was not good. Sin had so corrupted the people. It had grown and festered to be an ugly scar. Sin went unchecked. More than that, sin was boasted about, celebrated. Paul had just urged the congregation to excommunicate a member who was living in a sin. But sadly, rather than condemning the sin and the man who was committing it, they were celebrating the sin. They were giving him high fives for what he was doing. A celebration of sin. So what does Paul do? Paul reminds them of their Passover lamb, Jesus Christ, the one who was sacrificed for them. He turns to the death of Jesus Christ. Why? Because that is the one who had purified them. Because that was the one who had cleansed them from all of their sins. He set them free from all of those sins and that filth that corrupted them so thoroughly that made them impure, unclean. Jesus died to wash away those sins. They ought to have been celebrating that cleansing, that sacrificial death of Christ. Instead, they were celebrating the sin. They wanted to revel in the very filth that Christ had removed from them. So Paul says to them, "Do you not know that a little yeast leavens the whole batch of dough? Purge out the old yeast so that you may be a new batch, just as you are unleavened. For our Passover lamb has been sacrificed, namely Christ. Paul uses this simple picture of yeast. As a baker prepares a loaf of bread, he'll add a little yeast to that batch and then knead it in. And just that little bit added to one section will make the whole loaf rise and expand to a much larger size. The whole loaf is affected by just one little bit of yeast added. God uses that simple picture of yeast as a bad thing, comparing it to sin. A little bit of sin added to a person will soon grow and become a big problem for the whole person. And once that sin is added to the person, you can't remove it anymore. Just like yeast can't be removed and pulled out of a batch of dough, so sin infects the entire soul in a way that it cannot be rescued. You don't have to be a baker to appreciate this analogy that Jesus uses. You know very well how sin works. It spreads. It reproduces. It begins with that inherited sin that we have from our parents, but then it grows and produces all kinds of actual sins that we commit again and again. It spreads to corrupt the whole body. And when left unchecked, when left without something to stop it, to kill it, to cut it out, it soon destroys the whole life, the whole soul. Either you kill and remove the sin, or the whole soul dies. Paul invites the Corinthians to consider, is that really the sin that you want to celebrate? Of course not. Instead, Paul invites them to celebrate something else. Paul invites them to celebrate the one who cut out that sin for them, who killed it for them, Jesus Christ, the Passover Lamb. Celebrate Him. Celebrate His death for you. Celebrate His defeat of Satan, His power over and destruction of sin. He sacrificed Himself for you, your Passover Lamb, to preserve your soul from death. The angel of death passes over you because it came upon Christ who died in your place. Friends, this is why you are here today. Yes, perhaps your child, your grandchild is singing. Yeah, perhaps this is the one day of the year that the secular world has not been able to remove the holiness from the holiday. And so you're here. You come today. But so often we're tempted to view God's service to us in this house as just another event that we want to be a part of. You want to see that. You want to be involved in that. Well, there is an event happening here today, and you are here to celebrate it, but it's not your child. It's not your own life and your experience in worship. It's your Savior. He died for you. He was sacrificed for you so that you can live. Christ cut out sin from your life. That's what you're here today to celebrate. For your Passover lamb has been sacrificed, namely Christ. So, let us keep celebrating the festival. Yes, that is why you are here today. To celebrate the victory that Jesus Christ, my Passover lamb, has given to me over sin by His death on the cross and over death by His resurrection from the grave. That is why we are here. That is the event that we celebrate today. The yeast of sin purged out of you by Christ's death and forgiveness declared to you in His resurrection. So we keep celebrating this festival of forgiveness through Christ's resurrection. Have you ever done something that you really regretted, that you wish that you could take back? It keeps you up at night. You just can't seem to shake that memory of it. Just imagine a fresh start, a new beginning, everything new again. No memory of past sins, no ever-present hampering of a tormented conscience. That would be something to celebrate, wouldn't it? That's what Christ has done for us. Paul writes, "Purge out the old yeast so that you may be a new batch, just as you are unleavened." To think, something that could never be done, yeast removed from a batch of dough that's been leavened, something that is impossible. The only thing to do, the only possibility, is that the whole batch be thrown out and you start over from scratch. But that isn't what happened. That isn't what happened to you. You weren't thrown out, discarded. Instead, the impossible happened. Yeast was removed. Sin was taken away from you, something that was impossible for you to do. Impossible for you, but not for your Passover lamb, whom we celebrate today. He removed it, and it is now completely gone. And so, Paul urges you today, purge out the old yeast so that you may be a new batch just as you are unleavened. Look at the positive way that the Apostle Paul speaks about us. You are unleavened. You are without sin. You have been made clean and new again. You are that perfect new batch of dough. So continue to purge out that yeast of sin, to continue to be that new batch that Christ, who rose from the dead for you, has made you to be. What sin does the Apostle Paul address here? He speaks specifically of the sins of malice and wickedness. These are pretty broad sins indeed. He compares them, or he contrasts them, as he urges instead sincerity and truth, being honest with ourselves and others in our lives. Those Corinthians weren't being honest and sincere about sin. Instead, they were living in wickedness and malice as they celebrated the sin. They celebrated wickedness and in malice, malice toward God and His Word and His truth. They were denying that it was even wicked. That was living in insincerity, pretending that God is okay with sin, and so that we're okay too. Friends, are we tempted to live that lie in our lives? It's very clear to understand how we're not to lie to others. We live in sincerity and truth. Be honest with your fellow men. Children, be honest with your parents when they ask you, who is it that left the toys out? Who is it that broke the window in the front room? Be honest with your wife when she asks you, why are you home so late from work? Be honest with your boss when he asks you, why are you here so late to work? It's clear to understand sincerity and truth. But how often are we insincere, untruthful with ourselves? Or worse, with our God? How often don't we lie to ourselves about our condition? Yeah, that's not an addiction. It's just something that I enjoy on occasion. No, I don't have a problem with that. I can handle it. God and I are good. I know the gospel, where I stand. When we're not sincere or honest with ourselves, when we shield ourselves from true, honest, tough, soul-searching confession, not only do we make ourselves our own cleansing agent, our own Savior, But we rob ourselves of our Passover lamb, who is our only true Savior, the only one who can truly make that cleansing sacrifice for us. No, I am not my own Savior. But Jesus came for me. He lived a perfect life from anything that mastered him, to complete the obedience to God's law in a way that I never could, and still I can't. He died to purge away all of my sins, all of my struggles and my temptations, all of the slips and the falls that I continue to make still today. He died to purify me. And he rose from the dead to assure me that all those sins are truly purged away, truly, genuinely. God has declared me clean, proclaimed me as pure and without sin in his sight, as his very own chosen Passover lamb, Jesus Christ, whom he sacrificed to save me. He lives. He lives for me. That is the festival that I continue to celebrate today. And how do we celebrate it? By living this new life. This incredible new beginning. Yes, he lives for me so that I can be honest with myself. I'm honest with myself against my continued struggles against the flesh, my continued battles with sin. He lives for me so that I am able to live that new life in sincerity and truth, being honest about how evil that evil really is, about how damaging that malice and wickedness that continues to plague me, continues to tempt me and allure me, is. He lives. My Savior lives so that I am a new batch. For our Passover lamb has been sacrificed, namely Christ. Do you know how powerful that truth is? Do you know how important that reality is, even now on this day when we celebrate that lamb's resurrection from the dead? My Passover lamb was sacrificed. He was the one who died for me so that I can live anew. So let us keep celebrating the festival, not with old yeast, not with the yeast of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Friends, look at the life that you have. You have that new start. You have that fresh life. God has done the impossible for you. He has removed the yeast of sin from you and made you leavened, pure, and holy. So we live that life of truth, of honesty. I said, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. That is the life of the unleavened loaf, a life of sincerity and truth. It's a life that confesses sin, that continues to rejoice in the new life that God has granted through his absolution. It daily purges away sin with contrition and repentance, and it delights in the purity that God has given by that pure life, that true life, that holy life of my Passover lamb. Lord, grant me that joy this day and always. Help me to continue to celebrate this festival, the festival of my forgiveness of sins through Christ's resurrection, this festival of a new life that God has granted to me, a life of sincerity and truth. Amen. And may the God of peace, who brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will.